Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on a podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast, where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
Hey, Grez. Hey, Grez.
No.
So, have you got something for me?
Yes. What are you looking for?
Just anything, man. Anything.
Stop scratching yourself. Why is... Look, you're bleeding out of your arm because you're scratching yourself that intensely. Right, okay. Okay, I've got some BattleBots 5.0. It's like I told you, it's still quite old.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Right, okay. But 20 episodes of it. Go away. Go away. Right. Okay, there he goes. There he goes. Back in his dumpster. Told you he'd come back. They always come back.
I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering weeks 3 and 4 of BattleBots Season 5.0.
And tonight is the attack of the rookies.
Yep, attack of the rookies. Because why would we do something like explain what the tournament is, explain where we're going, when we can just have random fights? Also, I'm fairly sure some of these teams have appeared before, these rookies.
Mm-hmm. Rookies.
So we start off with a lightweight round of 32 match as Wireless Wonder takes on the Wedge of Doom.
Mm-hmm. And we start to see exactly why people started to get a bit bored of BattleBots by Season 5.0, as it's pretty much two, like, not exactly wedges, but not exactly any exciting weaponry.
I mean, to be fair, this is in the lightweight version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, the match starts with Wireless Wonder absolutely sailing across the arena and then promptly missing Wedge of Doom on its...
Yeah, the amount of steam it gets to then proceed to miss its box rush.
I mean, like, I'll give it credit. It's got a hella speed behind it, but that's really about all that a Wireless Wonder has. It's a four-wheeled silver box with... I don't even know what to call that as a weapon. It's like kind of six prongs on the front.
Yeah.
It's meant to be kind of like spiked, but also a kind of like scoop weapon, I assume. Whereas the Wedge of Doom has its flipper arm, I guess. And see, to be honest, like most of this fight is just Wireless Wonder just grossly overly speedy and just bouncing off like anything that kind of comes in its way.
It's like watching, it's a robot that's too fast for its own good. Mm-hmm. Versus a team that just go, oh, look at him go, and there he goes over there. Well, he seems to be having fun, let's go punch him in the face.
Yeah, because Wedge of Doom is like, it's very well controlled, like, it just kind of, it doesn't even really need to move much. It's just kind of like, okay, right, let's go over there now. Let's just point the front there. Oh, here it comes. Oh, there it goes. It goes over us. And now it's on the other side of the arena. Oh, it's coming back. So basically this whole fight essentially is just like, it's a bit of endurance, because I feel like by the end of the fight, Wireless Wonder definitely has slowed down from when it started. Mainly its kind of problems just come from constantly driving into the spikes in the wall, going over the saws. It's all damage it does to itself, really.
Oh yeah, it's completely, well, not completely out of control. That's the wrong.
Erratic.
It's very erratic, and unsurprisingly, it ends up being a 29-16 victory for Wedger Doom.
Yeah.
Still, I mean, I know you said, oh, Wedge, you know, push bot versus push bot. That's not very interesting. It could have been worse. You could have had Carl the Mascot.
Mm-hmm. Carl the Mascot, which is, sadly, a running gag throughout the series. So they promptly say that he's a fat, ugly loser. And he looks like an idiot. That's really about it. But Jesus, he keeps coming
what
back.
What in the 90s WWE is this shit?
God, I mean, 90s WWE done some pretty weird stuff, but like, I don't think any of it was as bad as this. And then especially since you say 90s WWE when this was in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Sadly, this won't be the only time that we see Carl the Mascot. There's like one shot where he's like screaming at somebody while he has food in his mouth, and it's, dear.
I mean, it could be, literally the only thing I can think of is either that, or maybe we found the one writer in the world who actually liked the concept of Ralphus.
It's like Ralphus or Big Dick Johnson, if you remember him from WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's a writer, but got naked. That's the vibes I'm getting from here. Yes, we'll talk more about Carl the Mascot as the weeks go on. Yay.
Yep.
Can't wait.
Meanwhile, hey, Chris, you want some weapons? We got some weapons.
Yes, please.
So, it's a middleweight round of 32 match. It's Twin Paradox versus SOB. Horizontal Spinner versus what I described as Prototype Sawblaze.
I wrote the first note that I wrote down is SOB reminds me of the worst enemy from Mario 64. Which is those little like robots that go about with the little trays. And if you stand on them, they flip you.
Yes.
Which is when you're trying to get up higher, but when you get that at the wrong angle and it just throws you across the stage and you lose a hell of a lot of health. And it's just like, I just had like some kind of reoccurring
PTSD flashbacks.
Yeah. Just sailing through the air over and over and over.
And
but yeah, so like SOB, let's get a proper kind of rundown of exactly what it is. It's essentially like a big tray, for lack of a better term, with a saw blade on it.
Yeah, as I said, it's basically, if you were describing saw blades over the phone,
yeah,
you might end up with something that looked like this. It's very much a prototype of the design that would become saw blades or is it Total Ogre Kill, the Beetleweight?
Ah, yes. Yeah. I know, it's like, it's a bit like, not Tentamushi, but you know, like, Lisa's dad's robot that he had, it was kind of like, in the same vein, it was just, except this one obviously has a tray on it, so it's like, when the robot kind of goes on the tray, it kind of gets stuck in it.
Yeah.
Making it easier for them to kind of shove the robot around. And their opponent, as mentioned, was Twin Paradox. Take two. Big spinning blade on the front, and bit of metal on the back that's apparently a weapon. Hence the twin paradox.
So they've got a good weapon and a crap weapon.
No, they have one weapon. that they're trying to imply that slab of metal on the back is a second weapon. Okay.
Okay. Fabulous. But anyway, this SOB is instantly able to swallow up its opponent. Twin Paradox. I was wondering why I've got it down as TP. So it instantly gets underneath Twin Paradox, and it does the saw blaze, the complete control thing of, we're going to take you over here, and we're going to hurt you. And at first you're kind of sitting there, it's not really doing anything.
Yeah, it's creating sparks, but that doesn't exactly mean damage.
Yeah.
And then, like, there's a lot of this for, like, the kind of first half of the fight, and then SOB begins to smoke out of its weapon, and then this kind of, like, second half of the fight is just both of them spinning around in a circle because both of them are having drive problems.
Yeah, both of them are stuck in the death spiral, and the one thing that happens is that it looks like SOB in particular is really starting to conk out, and
I think the weapon stopped. It's also the arms kind of bent, and then it starts a plume of smoke once, and then a second bigger plume of smoke comes out.
And yeah, by the end, it's saved by the bell.
Yeah. Twin Paradox all of a sudden seems to start to move, like, somewhat decently by the end of the fight in reverse. Anytime it tries to go forward, though, it seems to be stuck in a circle again. It was very strange.
Yeah.
But yep, it goes to the bell, and the judge's decision is for SOB.
Son of a bitch, 26-19.
Yeah, because
it was the more dominant robot throughout the fight.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it did not end strong.
Yeah, it definitely looked like the loser by the end of the fight.
Now, I'd love to tell you what the next segment of the TV show was about, but all I've just got is Carmen in school uniform.
She teaches her how to use a controller.
Oh, okay. Is that what she does? Okay.
Yeah, just I've seen her, like, you know, flicking things up and down a lot.
Right, okay.
Yes.
So, Codebreaker versus Techno Destructo in the Super Heavyweight round of 32.
It's Codebreaker.
Four-wheel invertible drum spinner bot.
Mm-hmm. And Techno Destructo.
Which is that weird looking... It's like three quarters of a barrel with a flipper on it.
Yeah. It's the strangest shape of robot.
And it's very much a case of... I think this is one of the kind of, it's a rookie versus a more experienced team. That said, I'm sure Codebreaker has been in something else.
Hmm.
So
it was in Robotica, to be honest.
Yeah, it could well have been.
That would fare well in that kind of season. We do hear, right as the match is about to start, that Codebreaker is already going to be running at like half power.
Yeah.
It kind of shows.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
It doesn't look like it does a single thing in this match.
I mean, drum spinners don't... I think we're not really We're still a few years out from Drumspinners really making their impact felt.
Their final form?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I'm just having a quick look just now. So, Codebreaker versus Techno Destructo. Yeah, at this point, Codebreaker's had four free fights, so...
Okay, so this is its fourth?
Ooh.
Right.
Yeah. Cause...
So clearly there was some kind of problem going on, hence why they were having it at half power.
It's almost like there's a tournament going on, and that would be great if they explained that.
Hmm. Techno Destructo finally gets a really good flip that spins Codebreaker through the air about three times, and then gets another really sweet flip right on the front where it just very slowly goes up, kind of balances on its butt for a second, and then plops over. But after that, that's kind of all Techno Destructo kind of has, as Codebreaker begins to take over. A killsaw shot on the wheels of Techno Destructo, then the...
It wasn't moving freely when that happened.
Yeah. Then Codebreaker gets it with the on the wheels with the drum, and then somehow Codebreaker gets in under Techno Destructo and kind of drives about with Techno Destructo on its head, so takes it under the pulverizer, and then can't get off. It's like literally driving back and forth. Like,
ew, 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 ew.
Get it off me, get it off me. Finally gets
something's
it off.
Leaking from it.
Why is it warm? Why is it wet?
And yeah, so with 1 second to go, Techno Destructo gets counted out.
Yeah, it just gets pushed on and left on the kill saws to die.
Yep.
So Codebreaker with a knockout. As you said, 1 second left in it. I was wondering if it was going to make it to the bell just purely on the way that the count was going, but nevertheless. So Codebreaker advances to the next round. And this brings us to our main event.
Now, to be fair, see, this is the problem with this show. Is so often, and we've said this before, and this series, now to put it in perspective, by the time that we are recording this, we've watched half of season 5.0.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so frustrating because the quality of the actual robot battles is objectively better than Robot Wars.
Mm-hmm.
There are higher highs. There are more advanced robots. But it's all done with such little care to the formatting, to the way that the show is organized. And there's just so many terrible comedy skits.
Like, for example, we're building up to this really big main event. Two of the biggest, most dominating robots that are in BattleBots currently. We're getting to Warhead versus Nightmare. It's our main event. And they decide to do, like, Price is Right kind of skit where...
They introduce these two robots.
Yeah. And then they have, like, a sexy woman in a nice dress, like, standing next to them going, like...
Who isn't Carmen?
Ooh, yeah, I was quite surprised by that.
But Carmen is doing the announcement.
Yeah. As if she's the host. And so they're rubbing the robots and then touching the tip of the blade going, oh, oh.
Yeah, and it's just that, what the fuck am I watching?
Yeah. And then we have to flip from that skit to all seriousness as... the Warhead versus Nightmare match just begins. Like, we don't get the bureau announcements are read, and it's just like, anyway, the robots are in the
battle. That's the other thing, right. We know that they can do this right, and they've been hyping this match up. So have them do the introductions, have them do the pop, because it's the same thing as well. They keep doing this as well, where randomly they'll just go, yeah, we're not going to show the judge's decision on that because we have to have a Carl the Sidekick skit.
Yeah.
Or Bots Gone Wild, which...
Yeah.
In which we interview the most awkward robot here imaginable.
Oh, yeah. Yep, we'll get to that one.
Yeah.
I know, even if they just dropped the whole Price is Right bit, you would have had the time to do the introductions.
And then we get to the actual match. So it's Warhead, which is, it's by the Razor team. It is this kind of scorpion-shaped robot with a... It's probably the only time I've seen someone who has a disc on the wrong way but gets it to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because it basically... It's spinning like it's on the face of the robot. Meanwhile, yeah. Nightmare is, I mean, if you don't know who Nightmare is, you haven't been paying attention by this point.
Yeah. Big old disc boy.
Yep.
So, the two of them come together very slowly in the middle of the arena. They collide, and then Nightmare just instantly just starts bucking. For lack of a better word, it's just like bouncing.
Yeah, first you look at it and you go, what on earth's happened? And then Nightmare's disc stops and you see the chunk of it that's been ripped out.
Yeah. And then Warhead comes in with its second hit and just completely tears one of the wheels right off.
It just disintegrates half of Nightmare.
Oh, it's like a gruesome, like, broken ankle stale situation.
Oh, it's just sitting there, ah! It's one of the few, this happens a couple of times, you sit and you look and you go, oh my god!
Like, ah! I don't actually feel pain, but like, I feel pain for this robot.
What have they done to my sweet boy?
Oh, my boy.
So.
We get the ending interviews. Gary Coleman shows up again.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. How have we got worse than the shoe?
Really?
They don't even have no personality. They don't ask relevant... At least when the Scar Brawlers were there, they were asking semi-relevant questions.
Hmm.
They at least seemed to be trying to engage.
Yeah, I feel like Arge just trying too hard to, again, be funny.
Mm.
Which doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then, like, then we end this episode with Toilet Cam...
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Where the driver of Techno Destructor goes to the toilet and then has a chat with his wife on his phone, but then we have a camera inside the toilet.
What?
There are many different degrees of wrong.
What? Why?
And the worst thing is, this isn't the last time we see the Can-Can.
Oh, no, that's one advantage. See, after a while, when I realised, when the fourth battle, or most of the time the third battle, this is the only time we get two episodes in a row with four battles.
Yeah.
But, oh no, once the third battle happens, I can just tune out and play TEW 2016 whilst I wait for the video to cycle round. I'll keep it on the background just in case something interesting happens, which it virtually never does.
Yeah, pretty much the same with me. Like, as soon as a battle ends, I just like go on my phone and flick through Facebook, and mm-hmm. I kind of listen to the interviews, but then as you say, there's not really anything of note to even bother taking a note of them, so.
Yeah. So.
And that's how we end the episode, of a guy coming out of a toilet.
Yep. Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Grizz and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax, spelled T-E-K-N-O-A-X-E. We skip
episode 4.
Yep, we just got, so we'll jump into episode 4 with a Bob Dylan gag, and I think that this is the most honest Carmen Electra has been this entire series. They do the Bob Dylan gag where she's holding the cards with the lyrics and she's holding a completely deadpan face, and you go, finally, your look on your face matches the look in your eyes.
Well, I put she was doing her best Sammy Guevara impression to keep with my gimmick that some people hate of talking about wrestling.
Yeah. So.
More current.
So well, to be fair, Bob Dylan is the exact reference it's making.
I know, but.
But anyway, so Misty the Wonderbot is the latest victim of Hazard in the middleweight round of 32.
Yep, once again, we don't even really get an introduction, where it's just the box is locked.
It doesn't help as well. And I don't know if this is because I've actually been watching some more modern BattleBots.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't help that whilst, like, modern BattleBots, it's like the 3, 2, 1. In this version, it's 3, 2, 1, go! I've got to be honest, it doesn't matter what Misty the Wonderbot is, because what happens is, what happens when someone fights Hazard, which is the robot is working, and then it touches Hazard, and then it's not working anymore.
Like, Misty got the first hit, and I will give it some credit. For 5 seconds, it was winning this fight.
Yeah, for 5 seconds, it didn't get completely and utterly destroyed.
So it gets the first dink. Okay, well, I've got to look at it here. Misty the Wonderbot is a T-shaped robot with a spinning blade on the front. It gets the first dink on Hazard, and then Hazard promptly dismantles it piece by piece, starting with the weapon, because the thing all comes completely loose and you see the weapon still spinning, but it's all completely bent up and completely disfigured out of shape. And then Hazard just promptly rips both the wheels off it.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's a dismantling. It's an execution by the end.
It's gruesome.
That, and also, I think we jump straight into the next match. Because this is the one advantage of having 4 matches on the card, is they don't have time for comedy shit.
Yep, a lot less guff.
So.
You could have probably fit another match in every episode if there was less comedy.
I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves. I mean, do we not want the show to resemble early 2000s Vince Russo written WCW?
I mean, it was still about at this point.
2002, wasn't it?
I think this is 2001. It depends on when this aired. I suppose.
I think this is 2002. I'm not quite sure.
I'll maybe try and get a look at the copyright at the end of the episode and we can confirm. I mean, even then, saying then, like, I would think...
2002.
That... Ah, well, there you go. Okay, so yeah, WCW was dead then.
Yep. Maybe this is what Vince Russo did, like, in the 6 months before Jeff Jarrett signed him up for something else.
Yes. A little bit of TNA. So we have The Patriot taking on Salad.
So The Patriot is a wedge robot. Salad is fairly similar to how we've seen it before. It's that... it's one of these robots, and we see a few robots with this design, with basically, like, more of a lifter than a flipper. I don't know if this is one of the ones that could do a full 360 rotation. I don't think it is.
No, it's about 180, I think.
And Salad, the beginning of the fight does not go well. They somehow manage to trap themselves on the spike wall.
Yep, and then even so much so that the commentators poke fun at it, saying, oh, well, it's not a Salad match if they don't get themselves stuck on the wall.
I mean...
So the fact that it happens enough that even the commentators are making fun of them...
Yeah.
But it doesn't last long as Salad gets in under Patriot, sets it up beautifully, I will admit. It gets the lifter up in the perfect position where it kind of hooks the top of it just under Patriot's scoop. And then it goes for the big drive. Bang, right into the wall. Patriot flips over and is stuck on the wall, unable to get itself off. It's counted out. Salad wins.
Salad does toss the Patriot around. So, we then get on to a heavyweight match.
Carmen Electra teaches us about the tap out or knockout rule.
I'm sorry, I forgot to type.
Yes, my hands were busy doing something else during this segment.
Yes, skipping through the segment because okay, great. It's Carmen Electra wearing schoolgirl clothes. Here's the thing. I'll be honest. I've never got the schoolgirl thing.
Yeah, I know. I get it as well.
Particularly now that I'm in my 30s.
Yeah. I think it's definitely like, if you're about, you know, 14 to maybe about 17, 18 years old, that's like the kind of thing that you're trying to go for there. You know, people that are still in school.
Yeah. Who, to be fair, is the main demographic for this show at this time.
Yeah, definitely.
Especially even in the humour, quite frankly. So, the Matador, which is the Toro team, it's kind of more similar in shape than to what would later become Bronco, though with a considerably different rear end. Frenzy, this time, so Frenzy, you know, the Axebot, we know very well. They've actually started, and we've seen this happen more often. Robots putting in structures specifically to cause issues for a type of opponent.
Yeah, like, there's more tactical ingenuity for lack of a better word, but I think
that's... not going as far as we get now where literally... A lot of these robots have 5 or 6 different configurations specifically for the type of robot they're facing.
Yeah, and it's not like the case of just strapping a cage on something to prevent it from getting, like, hurt at all.
I think you mean bike rack.
That as well.
So, anyway, Frenzy actually is in control of the match early on.
Right, so we should mention Frenzy's attachment for the fight.
It's like a bar?
it's like a big rod or something that sticks out like, I don't know.
About the length of the hammer, shaft that Frenzy has, which is a big, Frenzy, it's got a big walloper of a shaft.
Oh yeah.
That boy has to be very careful. He runs out of blood when he sees a pretty lady.
Which is a nightmare when Carmen's around backstage. Yeah, so like, it's got the massive rod that's trying to keep like the Matador at bay, and then obviously the logic is it can then use the axe, which he managed to use a couple of times in the early going. And also the axe is different as well, because the whole kind of shaft of the axe is like, it's all spiky as well.
Oh, that I didn't notice, to be fair.
So it's like, it's all like kind of a zigzaggy kind of metal. So because obviously, as we were saying, the Frenzy axe is incredibly long, and half the time Frenzy is just bludgeoning people with the
shaft.
The shaft of, yeah, let's just call it what it is, really. It is a shaft. He bludgeons his opponents with the shaft of the axe as opposed to the head of the axe. So if you make the shaft of the axe, you know, pointy, logically, you can do more damage with it. However, that only lasts for so long as Frenzy's axe dies, and you can just see it limp, just kind of right above the giant rod that it has installed for this match. So really, it's just a waiting game. Matador gets one flip in, and Frenzy just promptly rolls onto its side. And because it also has the massive rod there, it stops. It stops the momentum when it rolls on its side.
So it's stuck.
Yeah. Like, and obviously with the axe being dead as well, it can't even use that to help self-right. Matador put so much oomph into that flip that Matador also flipped itself over.
And then it self-rights.
And then self-rights. And this is something I didn't notice until I just watched it there. Frenzy's counted out, and Frenzy's lost. But as Matador comes out the battle box, everyone starts throwing roses at it.
Yeah!
That was a nice little touch.
I mean, that's nice. I mean, I'd hate to look at the electronics inside that robot, the amount of damage it must have taken just from hitting the ground from, I think it might well have cleared like 6 foot.
Yeah, Matador goes high. Both of them do, yeah. Like, but Matador moves on, and then instead of, you know, having another fight, which we could do with, we get Tony Rock in San Francisco for some reason.
Yeah, it's. And the worst part of this is they do a San Francisco tour later in the series with Evil Cheese Wedge, and it's 10 times better.
Yeah, because at least there was some reason as to why they did that. At least they had a robot in that segment. It's just Tony Rock
going on his holidays.
Yeah, he's just on a tram, just kind of talking about BattleBots to a bunch of people that are sitting there going, the fuck are you talking about? Like, I'm excited that you're here, because like, they get off and they're like, oh my god, that was Tony Rock. But, you know,
are we meant to know who Tony...
That's Tony Rock from BattleBots.
Is Tony Rock just a Nepo baby? Well, not even a Nepo baby, a Nepo brawler.
Maybe. It's seeming that way. But you know what? BattleBots has no apologies for it.
It's time for people to see two actual proper heavy-duty axe robots.
Let's go.
So it's no apologies versus the judge.
Yes.
Axe versus...
rematch?
I believe it is. So these are two robots with the most terrifying axe hammer weapons I think I can remember seeing in robot wars, so in robot combat.
The speed and velocity that the axes come down from these two is terrifying.
And yet, despite all that speed, almost half my notes are, no one's landing a blow yet. No one's actually hitting each other. They're just kind of flapping at each other.
The one note that I have that maybe has anything to do with damage is both of them swing their axes at the same time and then their axes lock. And like, that was kind of cool. But that was really about it.
Yeah. And then eventually Judge starts randomly smoking. And you see this moment of no apology going, okay, let's go, get Sidon, and starts wailing on him.
Mm-hmm. It then promptly puts the judge under the hammer.
That was still better than most of the gags in this episode.
That's the exact reaction I was hoping you were going to give me. Especially when I need to start all my bad jokes with heh heh heh. You know it's going to be like a fucking dad joke.
Oh, at this point I'll take a fucking dad joke.
Yeah, so the judge pretty much is slowing to a stop, but then we get this really good camera angle where you just see the inside of the judge just flat out explode.
Yes!
And it was like, it was perfect camera. It was just kind of side on, but just enough that you can kind of see in the sort of break in the shell where the hammer is, and then all you just see is this, something just go. And the judge counted out with 14 seconds left in the fight.
Absolutely. And that brings an end to weeks 3 and 4. And, well, I hope you enjoyed getting 4 battles an episode. Because that's not going to happen on the regular from now on.
Nuh-uh.
No, instead, what we'll have to just watch instead is hours and hours of hilarious comedy.
How does...
And somehow we'll end up just showing you the matches of the pushing bots bumping against each other.
Yay, I love pushing bots.
I mean, to be fair, I actually do love pushing bots, but that's because I'm weird. And if you want to know what we're talking about, you can find out next week.